Take your Bibles, go to Jeremiah chapter number 3. Jeremiah chapter number 3. I'm going to preach a message tonight that I believe Pastor Ross would never preach behind his own pulpit. Some of you got a little nervous right there. You'll see why in just a little bit. Some of you looked a little tired when you came in, so I thought I'd say something to keep your interest for a little while. So hopefully that woke you up a little bit. But I believe that it's the perfect will of God for every Christian to be under a pastor in a local New Testament church. Can I get an amen? I believe that is the perfect will of God. I believe that's where we need to be. We need a pastor. We don't have a radio pastor. We don't have a television pastor. We have a God-given pastor given to the local assembly of Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Jasonville, Indiana. I want to ask a question. What are some of the greatest gifts that God has given us? God's given us a lot of gifts in our life individually, but God's also given us kind of a gifts as Christians. He's given us, we would say, His Son. Be one of the greatest gifts God gave us, because that through that was eternal life. So I believe that would be a correct answer. Amen. Maybe you say, well, God gave the church. I mean, that would be correct. He died for the church. Christ died for the church, the Bible says. I believe those are some of the greatest gifts that God's ever given us. But I believe that the Bible also shows us of another gift, and I believe it's one of the best gifts that God's given us. And I'd like to show you that tonight. Let's take our Bibles. Let's all stand together. We'll read one verse together. Jeremiah chapter number 3. Let's go down to verse number 15. We'll read one verse. It says, and I will give you, what's that next word? Say it with me.
Pastors.
I will give you what?
Pastors.
I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. God said here in the scripture, He said, I want all my people to know that I'm going to give them a gift from my very heart. From my very heart, I'm going to give them a pastor. God's given us a pastor. I want to talk to you about that. Let's pray to our Father, Lord. I pray that we could just learn something from this, Lord. What a gift we've been given as a church. And it's a good gift, Lord. It wasn't a bad gift. It was a great gift, Lord, because we have a great pastor, Lord, and something that we should all be thankful for, and especially during this time right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I wonder when the last time was that we personally thanked the Lord for our pastor. When did we go to the Lord last and thank the Lord for the pastor? Brother Hoxie got up this morning, talked about a church that he feels God's called him to go to, and that church has been without a pastor for 5 years. Imagine Blessed Hope Baptist Church just without a pastor. But on top of that, without Pastor Jerry Ross. I've been around the country. I've been around a lot of pastors in America, and I can tell you, Blessed Hope is blessed with a great pastor, a very well-known pastor. He's well-known because of his character. He's well-known for his preaching. He's well-known for his stand. There's a lot of things that he's well-known for. My dad told me when I told him I felt God was calling me to pastor, and that I talked to Pastor Ross, and that we think God might be calling me to hear. My dad said, if you were to ever go work under a preacher, if I could pick one pastor out there for you to go work under, it'd be Pastor Ross. It's a pretty high statement from my dad. And I believe we have a great pastor. He's exactly what we need. This church is exactly what we need. God gives him exactly what he needs to preach to us. Man, I think, boy, it should be great for us to come up to Pastor and say, Pastor, your preaching's been great, but I just want to tell you, thank you for being my pastor. Thank you for being my pastor. Many pastors will tell you that preaching is about 5% of pastoring. You may think like that's the big part of pastoring, but it's not. Pastoring is a whole lot more than preaching. Think of your own personal life and what the man of God has done for you. How about we start encouraging him when he gets up behind this pulpit? How about we get some more amens in the church? How about we start encouraging him? You see, when you go to a church, I've been to churches before. I've preached at churches before, and I've not got an amen before. And I walked away thinking, man, I was terrible. I did a horrible job. I can tell you, though, one thing about coming to Blessed Hope, anytime I used to come up and visit and pastor would ask me to preach, man, I said, great. I can preach a bad message and Blessed Hope's going to give me some amens because this church says amen. I love that. I think we should never stray away from that. I'm going to say some things tonight, not because I'm going to say them because I don't think that Blessed Hope, the body of Blessed Hope Baptist Church represents them. I'm going to say them tonight because we need to be reminded of them, especially right now. We're going to be without a pastor here physically. And honestly, he's not going to be really available to you through phone and through text as much as possible. We're going to try to give him time for his body to heal and get through this right now. Oh, we need to evaluate what we have in a pastor, and it's a lot. We've been blessed beyond measure. God doesn't use an evangelist or a missionary to build his churches. He uses the man that's preaching behind this pulpit on a Wednesday night and a Sunday morning for Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night and every opportunity that gets to preach and speak to us. God uses that man to preach to us. God uses that man to help us when we're up, to help us when we're down, when we're going through a heartache, when we're going through a trial, when our life is falling apart, when one of our kids are going astray. The pastor is there for us. He prays for us every single day of our lives. And that's, I believe, what builds the church. If you don't have a great pastor, it's hard. God uses the pastor as the shepherd of the church to build that church. I don't believe God ever intends for us to church hop. I have more respect for grasshoppers than I've got for church hoppers. I experienced that. I've seen people come through our church growing up that just, man, they were just in and out of churches. They'd come back to our church for a time. And they would never settle down in a church and just say, I'm here, I'm staying in this church. This church is not going to be perfect, right? It's not perfect. So don't come here expecting it to be perfect. Decide I'm going to stay here through the ups and the downs. If Pastor Ross could tell you one thing, and he's told it, I've heard him tell it to me. I've heard him tell it to other people. I was traveling with him a few times when he was preaching over the last 6-7 months. And when people would ask about the church, what it was, how the church handled the last time he went through this and all the cancer, boy, he said, my church, they were all there. He said they were all there for us. He said we didn't lose people. We gained a couple families through. The ties were in. Everything was up. Boy, that's a great thing. That's a great thing. But just because we did something back then doesn't mean we shouldn't do it now. Amen? We don't want to be one of those used-to-be Christians and we look back and say, well, we did that. Check, we did that. No, it should be a part of our life every single day. What we did, we should learn from history, amen? We should learn from history. It worked back then. It worked a year ago. It can work now, amen? It worked earlier in this year. It can work now. God will bless this church if we continue to be a part of blessing our pastor. You see, anyone can back their pastor. Anyone can back their pastor when they're always right. It's easy to back somebody when they're right, amen? But you see, pastor's not always going to bite. He'd be the first one to get up behind the pulpit and tell you, I'm going to make some mistakes along the way. I'm going to make some decisions that I'm going to say, man, why did I make that? I should have done this. And we have to learn from them. Ask yourself, are you perfect? No. Absolutely not. My dad always said, if you're looking for a perfect pastor and a perfect church, you're going to put a lot of miles on your car. And if you find one, don't join it because you'll mess it up. Yeah. Ain't that the truth? Yeah. You'll mess it up. Boy, we've got a great church, but we've got a great pastor. As long as he doesn't deviate from this book, we need to back our pastor as our shepherd. There's a song that was written many years ago called That's My Preacher. I'm going to read you the lyrics. I want you to think about your pastor and how he's been there for you as you read through this. It says, he gets up bright and early to talk to his father. Your burdens still weigh heavy on his mind. He kisses his wife. He grabs a cup of coffee. The hospital called. They said, it's just about time. On his way, he gets a call from a mama with a wayward son. He pulls over and prays for her on the side of the road. No, this won't make the news or be in the Sunday paper, but that's my preacher. He don't apologize for telling the truth. He don't water down the gospel just to please a few. He just stands and proudly proclaims Jesus is the only way. No, he's no modern day motivational speaker, but that's my preacher. He don't punch a time clock. No, he don't get time off. He's on call 24/7, 365. And Washington won't call him and ask for his advice, but every night he has Jesus on the line. He's praying for your babies. He's praying for your families and for your churches too. And he prays for God to send revival just one more time. No, he's no modern day preacher, no modern day speaker, but that's my preacher. That's our preacher. He's been there for you. Many of you have been in the church for 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, maybe 50 years. Your pastor's been here for you. Tonight, I believe if you have a great pastor sent from God, then you can back him up. If we have a great pastor tonight, can I just hear an amen?
Amen.
If we have a great pastor, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
We've got a great pastor. Now I'm going to talk to you about benefits of backing your pastor. Benefits of backing your pastor. When you back your pastor, there are some things that God will bless you with. We're going to go through this tonight. Number one, you'll bypass a lot of problems. You'll bypass a lot of problems. The Bible says that in Hebrews 13, he watches for your souls. He's watching for your soul. He's watching for my soul. He wants to make sure that we are taken care of. He's a shepherd. He's a shepherd trying to take care of the sheep, and he doesn't want to lose one. He doesn't want any of them to mess up. He doesn't want any of us to struggle. He wants every one of us to get the care that we need and to be taken care of and be prayed for. He wants that for us. He's taking care of us. If we will just back our pastor and be there for him, there's a lot of things that we'll bypass in our life. He's not preaching to hurt you. He's not in the business of hurting people. He's in the business of loving people. He doesn't get up every week and study for hours to get up here and preach so that he can hurt you. He's getting up here because God's given him something from this book. See, there's a lot of preachers out there that will say, we believe the King James Bible. But there's a lot of things they won't preach from the Bible.
Right.
Sure, they believe it, but they're too scared to get behind the pulpit and preach it. If there's one thing that's said about Pastor Jerry Ross, is he ain't afraid to preach anything from this Bible. He's not afraid of the faces that may not like it. He's more afraid of God. He's more afraid of the judgment of God than he is of us. I'm thankful for that as a pastor. He's doing it not to make you mad, but to help give you direction in your life. When I go on a trip, we've gone on trips before. How many of you have ever gone on a trip before? You map out that trip, get directions for that trip. If you've never been there before and you need directions, along the way, you're going to make some turns. And if you're following your GPS map, or you're following an atlas. I know some do that, all right? You follow your maps.
Come on.
Come on, brother. You told me that, huh? You follow your maps. What are you looking for? You're looking for the signs for where to turn, correct? Now, when I get to those signs that tell me I need to go here or I need to stop, I don't get out of the car and say, you know, I'm taking that sign down. How dare it tell me I need to turn right here? Nobody cusses at a sign and says, what in the world? Why are you telling me to turn right here? Why are you telling me I have to stop right here? Nobody does that. They're thankful. We're thankful for that sign. We're thankful that it's lit up. We're thankful that it's helping us, because it's helping us not to get what? Lost. It's helping give us direction in our life. Boy, that is what a church is. That is what pastor is here for, to help give us direction in our life so that we don't get lost along the way. We need a shepherd. We don't want to get steered away from the pasture. We need our pastor here. We need him directing us in the right way, preaching to us the hard things as he did this morning, some things that we could, if we wanted to, we could puff our chest up against and say, well, how dare he say that about us? How dare he say that? Who does he think he is? He thinks he's perfect. He thinks that just because a man of God gets up behind the pulpit and preaches things doesn't mean he's perfect and that he doesn't need to work on them. You'll hear Pastor Ross say it all the time, I'm preaching this because I need this tonight. Right. Hope it'll be a blessing to you. It'll save you from a lot of problems if you just back your pastor.
Right.
Number two tonight, I believe it'll bless your children.
Amen.
It'll bless your children. You ever thought about the way we treat our pastor can determine how our children may turn out someday? I'm not saying that you could be the greatest parent ever and your parents and your kids could just go the wrong direction. But it's our job as a parent to do the best that we can, right? It's our job as a parent to give them the best possible chance to make it for the Lord. I believe the way we treat our pastor, you remember in the Bible, the Shunammite woman, remember her in the Bible? Well, she took care of the man of God. They made a prophet's chamber for him and a bed, and they set him up. They fed him. They took care of him. Boy, they just took care of, Elisha. They took care of Elisha, and Elisha sent a messenger back to her, and he said, tell her she can have whatever she wants. So the messenger went to her and told her, hey, he said, you can have whatever you want. What do you want? She said, well, I've never been able to have a baby. But I'm married to an old man. And she said, "But I'd like to have a baby." And so Elisha said, "You know what? By this time next year, you'll have a baby." You know what happened? She had a baby. But years later, when that boy was a little bit grown up, The Bible says that he was out working in the field with his dad, and the son got to him, and he said, "My head, my head." And the Bible says he fell over and died right there on the spot. Well, she said, "Get him to Elisha's bed. Get him to Elisha's bed." And she went and found the man of God and got him to her son. And Elisha went before God and said, "God, this family's taken care of me. They've done so good to me. They have fed me. They've taken care of me, gave me a place to sleep. Lord, I want you to rescue their son." Boy, their son was brought back to life, and he gave that child back to God, or back to his mother. God will bless your children if you take care of the man of God. I'm not saying that can happen, but God will take care of your children. I think of her in the Bible and how her was known as, there's not a lot said about her, but one thing we know about her is he was one of the men that helped lift up the arms of Moses. He was there to lift up the arms of Moses. And after that, it doesn't say that he said anything bad about Moses. He didn't badmouth him. He didn't try to tear him down. He didn't talk bad about him behind his back and try to undermine him at all. The Bible just says he was there to hold up the arms of the man of God, of Moses. We know what happened years later when Solomon came along and said, "I'm going to build the greatest temple that ever has been built." The man that he put in charge of it, you know who it was? It was Hur's grandson, Bezalel. Bezalel. Put in charge of building one of Hur's grandsons because he decided, "I'm going to back the man of God. I'm going to be here for him. I'm going to make sure that he's taken care of in his life, and I'm going to do everything I can to support my pastor." I believe that we need to support our pastor in every way that we possibly can. If you remember Elisha, another story of Elisha, as Elisha went to the city of Bethel, and that city got away from the Lord and kind of just started deciding their own ways and getting away from what God had for them. And Elisha came along and they said to Elisha, they said, "Elisha, our land's barren and the water is bitter and we can't even drink it anymore." And he said, he decided to perform a miracle right there and he caused the water to be sweet again. Boy, they rejoiced. "This is great. This is great." And he walked away, and as he was leaving the city, the Bible says that 42 children, I believe it was 42 if I remember right, 42 children, it says, mocked the man of God. Mocked Elisha, called him a bald man, and were mocking him. Where do children learn to talk like that about the man of God? Their parents. Their parents. They come to church. "Oh, Pastor, you preach such a great message. Thank you so much." Then they get in the car and start talking bad about the man of God and all the questions, all the decisions that he's making. Kids hear those things. They hear what you say. Our kids are getting the age. I'm like, okay, they hear stuff. They know what's going on. We got to be careful. It's good when your kids start getting to that age, all right? You start toning up what you're saying about people. It helps you not gossip about people if you're listening. If you're doing the right thing, don't talk bad about the man of God. He's not perfect. He's just trying to do the best that he can on this earth, just like you're trying to do the best that you can. Growing up in church, man, we had a great church. My dad went through a lot of health problems. My dad had to take a 9-month sabbatical from the church. Came here to Indiana. There was a doctor here. He's still here today. He's in Shipshawana, Indiana, and he, brother? Amish. Sorry, slipped my mind. With the Amish there, a doctor that just could help people with health, and my dad went there and would get treatment from him. Boy, I remember how well the church just treated my dad and took care of him and stuff, but there were some men there that kind of were raising their heads, and it wasn't a big problem, but you could just tell they were kind of starting to make decisions and things when he was gone. I was in college at the time. Then I came back from college. My dad came back, and became the youth pastor of the church, and it was going good, but there was minor issues that you could sense in the church because some men kind of rose up and were taking charge on some things that they shouldn't have been taking charge of. And saying some things and about my dad and his health, not always be able to be there and stuff and different things. They were complaining about things. And we were about a year and a half or so into the ministry. And I remember we decided we had to shut down our Christian school because the deacons weren't supporting the Christian school. Nobody was putting their kids in the school anymore. We went from a school when I graduated, there was 50 kids in the school. And then a few years later, we were down to about 6 kids. We had to close the school down. My wife and me, man, we got burdened about starting that school back up. And man, I didn't know how to do it financially. We didn't have a way to, I wasn't on paid staff just yet. I just was volunteered staff there at the church. And one of the men of the church, he was a businessman that started coming and he got saved a few years before that, got on fire for the Lord. And he was the type of man that my dad discipled him, would go to his house and just disciple this man and helped him grow in the Lord. He was hungry to grow and started a business. And the more that he started giving to the Lord and the more time he started giving to the Lord, that business kind of started to grow. Well, he started taking care of my dad and my mom and just started blessing them. And everything that he would find a need of theirs and he would fill that need. Just constantly, just all the time was there. Well, he told me, he said, you know what? He said, I want the Christian school for my kids. His kids were a little bit older. And he said, how about I hire you for my company? He had a marketing company. He said, I will hire you to work for me in name. He said, you'll work a little part-time for me and do a few things, but I'll pay you a full-time salary, but you'll go to the church and you'll work. You'll get that school started back up and whatever you need, just let me know. We'll get, he's like, any supplies that we need, if the church can't afford it, you let me know. And man, I'll help get it going. And I said, man, what an answer to prayer. We had 26 kids that first year getting started back up. Well, there were some people in the church that didn't like that. They didn't want the Christian school back open. They got mad at my dad and got mad at different things, and mumbling started in the church. And I remember all this talk and things that we didn't know were going on behind the scenes, things that were being said about the man of God. And shortly after that, over a few month period, we had about eight or nine of the main, I'm talking main families, of the church leave the church. I had about 25 to 28 teenagers in the church at that time. And a few months later, I had about four or five of those teenagers in the church. All those teenagers were gone. They left because of the mumblings in the church of what they were saying about the pastor. You know, I can tell you about those families. One of the kids has committed suicide. Deacon kid. Another, their other kid is just an alcoholic. Other kids have just, a lot of the families don't even go to church in general anymore. Heartache after heartache. Not a single one of them did it bless their children. I don't say that because I'm excited. I say that because I'm sad. Those were teenagers in my youth group that I was investing my life into. And to see the decisions of their parents and the murmuring and talking of their parents, how it affected their children. If we take care of the man of God, it'll bless your children. If we talk right about the man of God, if we back him up, it'll bless your children. Lastly tonight, I believe it'll bless you financially if you back your pastor. I believe God will bless you financially. And I'm not saying that truckloads of gold and money are going to be backing up to your truck and finding places just to dump cash and dump money. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying the more we take care of our pastor, the more God will fulfill our needs. The more God will fulfill financial needs of ours. We are going to run into those troubles. We're going to run into those things. And when we're living the way we should be living and we're backing our pastor, what he says, what he preaches, we're there for him. He's not deviating from the word of God. He's doing what he should be doing as a pastor, and we're backing him up. We're not allowing people to talk bad about our pastor. We're there for him. I believe that God will take care of you if you back the pastor. He'll take care of you financially. I believe that if he's got a financial issue, I'm glad we had a men's meeting with all the men here a month or so ago. And one of the men asked Pastor, you know, what are your health medical bills like right now? We haven't heard a report. You know, what do you have any right now? And Pastor was able to share like how much money right now that they owe in the medical field right now. And I'm thankful that our church is concerned about that. Wants to find a way. How can we help our pastor right now? Our pastor, he doesn't have time to be dealing with those kinds of things. He doesn't have time to be dealing. We don't want our pastor worrying about finances. Amen. Come on, as adults, as parents, we know if there's one thing that can stress us out, it's what? Money. Yeah. Finances. Those things can stress us out. There's ways that Blessed Hope has already done. Again, remember I said at the beginning, I'm not preaching this message because I don't believe Blessed Hope has done this. I'm preaching it because I believe we should continue to do this. And if you have not been a part of it, like others have been, jump on board. Back your pastor up. I believe you'll be blessed financially. That man that I said that was there for my dad in his early life, and as he was starting that business, he just started every time he could find an opportunity. He was helping my mom, helping my dad. He would always constantly ask me, hey, how's your mom doing? Does she need this? Does she need this? How about your dad? Does he need this? Does he need this? He was constantly just, it made me feel guilty as a son that I wasn't doing enough or thinking enough about my parents. And it was refreshing for me that all these people, main people of the church, had said all these hurtful things about my dad and left the church, but there was somebody that stood up. There was somebody that stood by his side, was a her, and stood by the man of God and held his arms up and taught me as a young man to back up your pastor. And man, Still to this day, that man, he's not a part of our church. He went to, he's at another a good church. Something happened in his life where he had to move, going to a great church as a great family. I'm telling you this, God has blessed that man so much because of how much, not only did he give to his church, because of how much he helped his pastor and fulfilled every need that it cost be good. God blessed him with those things financially. And boy, he blessed his pastor with those things. Today, his company is part of the 500 fastest growing companies in all of America. Part of America. And he is a bus captain at his church, faithfully attends his church, teaches an adult Sunday school at his church. Man is a man of God. But he backed his pastor. I believe that God will bless you financially. I believe that he will. He'll take care of those things for you. Two things I believe are most forgotten in a church. The third verse of a hymn song. And the pastor's wife. The pastor's wife comes along with the pastor. I believe we should back her up. Be there for her. Encourage her. She's there for her husband. But she goes through a lot of things too. She's going through a lot right now. Wives, think of your husband going through this and how hard that would be. We need to back her up. Be there for her. Don't let her be forgotten at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's be there for her. Dear Father, Lord, thank you so much for our pastor. Lord, I know that we're not looking. We don't need to be looking for the benefits, Lord, of backing our pastor. But Lord, I pray that if we know that you will take care of us, you'll take care of the sheep. If we take care of the shepherd, Lord, if we're there for him, helping him, Lord, backing up that preaching, Lord, we should be thankful at this church, Lord, that we've got a preacher that just preaches with boldness, preaches in season, out of season, Lord. He's instant, Lord. He doesn't care what we think, Lord. He cares what you think. He has a tender heart to you, Lord, and I'm thankful for that, Lord. I pray that you would protect our pastor during this time, Lord. What an encouragement he is to see him come to church with the attitude and the mindset that he comes with. He's battling cancer, fighting for his life right now, and he comes to church excited to be a part of church, Lord. Boy, he wept the other day, Lord, when he thought of leaving the church for a few months, Lord. The average person would cry and complain, and it'd all be about themselves. But not our pastor. Not our pastor. Our pastor cares about us, Lord. He cares about our needs. And it's hurtful for him as a shepherd of this church, Lord, that he has to be away for us. And he's not here for us during this time, Lord. I pray that we would be there for him. We've all gone through hard times and he's been there for us, Lord. I pray that this time we would be there for him like others were before when he went through this struggle, Lord. I pray that tonight we would just ask you for help during this time to be there for him in Jesus' name.